The Process, a podcast about creativity and experimental music. In the world of experimental music, outcomes and accolades for creators can be uncertain and at times seem far and few between. Therefore, creators and practitioners of experimental music must embrace the one thing they will always have complete control over, the process. This podcast aims to understand this creative process by listening to new works and discussing them with their creators. Each episode focuses on one creator and their music. Understanding how and why they create can inform aspiring creatives and help audiences better understand and navigate experimental music. I'm Dr. Doug Bielmeyer, and I'll be your host as we explore the world of experimental music, creativity, and the human need to find purpose in their world and lives. This is The Process. Welcome to The Process. This is the final episode of season four. I'm sure I'll be back. And we'll probably get started taping season five within the next few months. But for our last show of the season, we have a guest slash group that I've had on. I think this will be their third time on the show. They're always releasing albums. They're always doing something interesting in the Boston area. It's electronic, it's experimental, it's poppy sometimes, it's straightforward, dance, sometimes it's really ambient and obscure, and it's the music, of course, of Violet Knox. And today, we'll be talking to Dez, Andrew, and Noel of the current configuration of Violet Knox, and we'll talk about their new album called Vortex and Voices. It's on the Somewhere Cold label. What's really interesting about this album is that it's actually a version of a live performance. And usually it's the other way around. A lot of times, you know, we're like making stuff in our basement or we're creating music and we have to figure out how to bring it into the world or how to get it performed or perform it ourselves or figure out a venue or a way for it to be part of something else like a film. But this was very different. This album came from music that was written for a really fantastic performance that Violet Knox did in collaboration with Zoe Dance Company called Arrow of Time. And it took place here at the Museum of Science here in Boston at the Planetarium. So if that excited you, just all those words put together, it really was all that. It was a really stunning visual presentation, projected video on the planetarium ceiling. In the center of the planetarium, you had Violet Knox. They're performing live vocals from Noel Dorsey, as well as the wonderful electronic improvisatory and live processing of Dez and Andrew. But then you also had the Zoe Dance Company. It was a very interesting choreography. The costumes were very interesting. There was this live video processing that was happening. And there was sort of this like Godzilla vibe to it where the people who were doing the live video were sort of dressed in hazmat or like clean suits. And then, of course, as you'll hear from today's conversation, Godzilla and King Kong make an appearance and fight. There's also like 90s pants suits involved in the dance, which was really, really interesting and just, you know, sort of added a whole other layer to what was going on. So it's interesting. They had to take this almost over an hour worth of music from this live performance and turn it into songs that could fit on an album. So let's start off here and take a listen to Ascent, which is the first track from Violet Knox's new album entitled Vortex and Voices on Somewhere Cold Records. We'll be right back.
I don't think that we had, or I don't feel like we had like a direct vision. I think that we really just kind of approach everything with like a real openness. The same way as writing. I don't want to have a plan. We do a lot of improvisational writing, and everything sort of just kind of comes about with the vibe and energy with where we're at that moment. And I think particularly coming out of the pandemic or during the pandemic, Andrew and I really got to writing on a much deeper, serious level, I think, than any of the other previous albums.
Albums for us have been really a record of who's working with us at the time and what we're doing, more than they have been something that has a plan for what it's going to be. And this particular one was influenced pretty heavily with the event at the Museum of Science. Composing for that performance and the length of that performance shaped, I think, five of the tracks, and that the reworking of those tracks for an album format was probably the biggest influence I can think of on how the tracks developed and the structures they have as songs.
Yeah, we actually ended up rewriting everything, which was not planned.
Yeah. So I know in the performance, it was about a 50-minute to an hour-long performance, give or take. So did you find yourself, when you were sort of creating this as an album, were you shortening a lot of things? Were you elongating things? What were the things that you focused on when you were kind of transitioning from this kind of epic live performance that you did into this album?
Definitively not extending things. There are no 19-minute tracks I can name.
No, they're all about like kind of 4 to 6 minutes in that ballpark. Yeah.
Which is an art too, and difficult, right, to create a short song. So, right. We really pounded out a lot of the songs for hours and hours, practice after practice, rewriting parts over and over until we really felt that we had something great. And then Noelle needed to come in and then put her vocals over what we wrote, which may or may not have worked. In some cases, we had to adjust things.
Yeah, when we collaborated with Callie on Arrow Time at this planetarium, you were there, Doug, and they were very long, a lot of improvisation. And we had the core of the song, but there was a lot of extra that we had to put in. Andrew mentioned 19 minutes. Yeah. And so everything was significantly shortened. And Des had told me how they had made it really concise. And it sounded fabulous, but it was the song, but it wasn't the song. And so I essentially had to revise how I was singing the songs.
So when it was the song or it wasn't the song, does that mean just the sort of lack of space or time that was there? Did you have to reconfigure lyrics or phrasing or all? Or
kind of everything. Kind of everything. I mean, there was moments where I knew exactly and they kept it very similar to what we did on the live performance. But yeah, it's essentially just cutting it and making it all fit into 3 minutes or 4 minutes. Mm-hmm. So it was more strategizing. What works? What's the most important part? What are the most important words? What do we want to come across? Mm-hmm. So it was good. It's like editing a novel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you know?
This might seem like a stupid question, but why not just have a 19-minute track? Like, Why not?
I think because in the context of the event, we had visuals and dancers, which were really another part of that whole composition. So as soon as you take them out, then there's less things going on over the course of 19 minutes. So
sure. Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. And it was fabulous. Some of the dancing, and I believe like King Kong was there at some point. Mm-hmm. And it was just, it was fantastic. Yeah. Visually, very exciting. And then, you know, also what you're doing musically was really interesting, but I can understand without maybe King Kong being there, 19 minutes is a little bit long. Just
Godzilla was there too.
Yep. Yeah. I didn't purposely not recognize Godzilla. I apologize about that.
Or we were given like specific segments of and minutes that we had to come up with for music. This segment, 5 minutes, the next segment, maybe 9 minutes. It's very difficult. And we had practiced again over and over with timers to the second. So it was a lot of work, but it, you know, I'd do it again.
Yeah.
It was a blast.
Yeah. In terms of structure and the performance, we were kind of vamping until Godzilla and King Kong fight. And that's a very different structural thing than, you know, an ABAB bridge.
Right. Yeah. We'll be right back. Noelle, maybe I can ask you about this. So this one starts off, Chaos sort of starts out like the other tracks, where it seems like there's a real center on vocal text, you know, and meaning. And then at some point in the song, you slip into this really beautiful sort of, you know, kind of improvisatory, vocable style. It doesn't really seem like it's like word-based. And it seems like you really start to just kind of experiment with your voice there. Maybe you can talk a little bit about Chaos and sort of what you were doing vocally on that track.
Well, when we wrote the track originally, I mean, it was meant to be more of an experimental track out of all of the songs that we had wrote. But I really felt as the song gets on, it starts to fall apart on itself a little bit. At least that was the original intention. And it felt like the natural way that my voice would go would be to sort of unravel, if you will. And I can't exact, I mean, this is so much of it was improvisation and it sort of just came to me. And it just the way it, I can just say that the way it felt was what it ended up, it just felt excellent viscerally. And it just made sense to just sort of let the song kind of go these other ways rather than more structured in the beginning.
Yeah.
I know that sounds kind of vague, but.
No. And I mean, after all, the track is named Chaos, right? And it's exploring this kind of sort of entropy and breaking down. Andrew and or Des, when you heard, did this, when did you first hear these vocals? Was this like in a improv situation in a practice? And what were your thoughts on just like this kind of different sort of more experimental vocal style?
Well, the funny thing is it's not different or experimental at all in the way that Noelle approaches things. So all of the vocals were more like that in the beginning. So Chaos is sort of the one where Noelle has this really wonderful way of feeling her way into the music, both in terms of vocal texture, melody, and then the words themselves. So if you're hearing things, just hearing things on the record, if you're really hearing the end point of a whole lot of development.
So true.
Yeah. So what you're hearing at the end of Chaos there is really that kind of natural bubbling up an adaptation that all of the songs came from. So it wasn't surprising at all to us. What was almost more surprising was how finished the other songs became and how tight they became thematically and lyrically. And that was a really wonderful experience to hear the different iterations of the words in addition to the melodies and vocals and hear the meaning congeal there. Because Noelle's a wonderful fluidity in obviously in her vocal style, but also in her thematic and, you know, you've said text-based, Doug, but the way that she uses words is, very, very fluid, but revolves around a core. And so that was a really pleasure to watch those develop.
And Noelle, what was the basis for a lot of this text? Are these things, are you doing like word association? Are you working with an idea? How are you constructing a lot of these texts?
Sometimes I'm working with an idea, but the original core is sort of these almost like channeling words, you know, and words are just coming out and it just feels really good. It makes sense.
Right.
And I've been building off of those and essentially writing. Like I take the lyrics that are coming out and then I'm writing around this general theme. There's a lot of Ascent and Varda. There's a lot of water imagery and tsunami and imagery. Boats and things like that.
So then
it was a process, but it was also very classic. classically like taking the original ideas and then sitting down and then writing.
Right.
Like any kind of poet person, you know, would sit and write and figure out the lyrics and how they fit.
The takeaway that I would take into the future for other recordings is that the arrangement and sound design is more important than mixing. And so if you spend time doing those, you don't have to spend time doing mixing. Mm-hmm. And we did a lot of that, which was re-recording, re-engineering or restructuring sounds so that everything felt right. And we recorded a lot of times, all the tracks a lot of times, and then we'd scrap the recording and go back to the arrangement and sound design phase.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be my learning, is the more time you spend on arrangement, sound design, the better you off you are in the long run.
Mm-hmm. And that's an interesting concept. So really being sort of critical is maybe not the right word, but being very sort of particular about what it is you're recording and how that's layering and how that's stacking up.
I would almost say be done before you record.
Mm.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Mm.
It's so hard though you sometimes find yourself writing in the studio.
Right.
You know, you get other ideas. It's an inspiration. You're like, oh, I want to try this out. Let's try this out. But if you have most of it down, you're way better off.
Yes. Yeah. I would say it was like extremely tedious at times. It was just, you know, playing the parts again over and over, rewriting. But I have to say, and I agree with everything that Andrew just said. I think in that process, we created a really amazing album. Mm-hmm. And with Noelle's contributions, just, you know, really tops it. I think our plan moving forward is to, we've already started writing. You know, we already have a couple mm-hmm. new songs, and we do move fast with our writing and change quite a bit, is that we'll try to record sooner. As soon as the songs are complete, you know, we have like a nice batch, we really like them, then we'll probably go ahead and record.
Yeah. Well, everyone, this has been fantastic. Thanks so much for sharing your time and your opinions on the piece. Before I let you go, let us know, first of all, where we can go, you know, to check out the album, and then just check out all the other things, Violet Knox, and all the other things you're doing.
So the new album is going to come out on Somewhere Cold Records, USA. The pre-release pre-sale starts August 16th. And the actual release, and that will be done through Somewhere Cold Records. And then you can buy it through our Bandcamp on September 15th. It will also be distributed through a mega project Germany about probably like in October, and will be available on all digital platforms.
Thanks to Dez, Andrew, and Noelle for sharing their time and music with us today. If you enjoyed this episode, please check out other episodes in the series. And as always, like, subscribe, and leave a comment on your preferred podcasting app. This has been Season 4 of The Process. With any luck, Season 5 will be right around the corner. Until then, stay safe and keep making stuff. I'm Dr. Doug Bielmeyer, and this has been The Process.